God, as we sing of your majesty, and we say that this is an exciting time where we think about God being with us. And so we sing in preparation for the celebration of Christmas Day, we sing about today's celebration. Let's come and join that celebration. Serve the others in your and our communities. So don't see this as something that isn't part of your act of worship. This is still part of our act of worship and us saying thanks to God for the things that are happening and being grateful for all that's going on in our church family. First of all, this evening, 6 p.m. That's 6 p.m. There has been one or two slight hiccups because a historical time for the carol service was 4 p.m. But tonight, 6 p.m. is our carols by candlelight. That'll be here. All the pretty angels will be glowing with their lovely, lovely, lovely candles. And we encourage you, of course, to bring people who might feel like they can come to church for Christmas but not feel comfortable coming at other times of the year. Get them to come along. They're going to be good, really good evening. And, of course, Christmas Day. Our Christmas Day service will be at 10:30. And we invite you very warmly to come for our really, really massively informal act of worship on Christmas morning at 10:30. And if you are a young person and you would like to bring a toy or a present that you might have opened that morning, maybe out of your stocking or maybe something more substantial, then please bring it along and Phil and I will faithfully link it to some part of the gospel story with skill and no sheer amount of bluffing or anything like that. So those are the main notices. I have a few other things to mention. Poppy has a notice that I'm going to ask her to come and bring now, just while we're getting ready for the other ones that are going to flick up through the screen. Poppy.
Just in my capacity as Martin's other half, because he always gives the notices about the marriage course, actually, I thought it better be my turn this time. We are running, it's a marriage course, but actually it's the lifelong relationships course in January, okay? From Thursday the 22nd of January in the evening, 7:45. Come along if you're part of a couple, okay? Come along as the two of you, and basically it's a series of seven evenings. It's a date, okay? It's time to come and sit and chat and share time with each other and appreciate all the good things about your relationship and acknowledge that sometimes things aren't as easy as perhaps we'd like them to be. So it's really just time for you as a couple to come and sit and chat and learn more about each other. Tea, coffee, pudding's provided. It's a really lovely evening. Please don't be worried about coming along. There doesn't need to be anything wrong with your relationship. It's just a chance to come and invest in your future together. Just come. It's lovely.
Okay, so, and I know there's a couple of other notices up here. So, yes, this is the other big one, is our church social, is the GBC Bake Off. That's on Saturday, the 10th of January at 7 p.m. Do come along, that's going to be lots of fun. And then some more dates for our diary. Maybe? Or that maybe we're going backwards. I think that's it. Okay, that's it. That's it. Okay, so good. Right, well, in just a moment, I think the nativity group are going to come through. Perhaps you could go and get them. And just while they're doing that, why don't we have a moment of prayer and just take a few moments to think and sit quietly for a moment. God, in this season, we have sat waiting patiently for you. In this season of Advent, we sit, wait, and in the busyness of 21st century Western life, sometimes it doesn't feel like we've sat or waited or listened very hard. Amidst the Christmas shopping, the work and family parties, the school events, nativities, church services, Lord, we haven't always stopped and listened for you. And for that, we're sorry. Lord, will you help us to listen more closely to what you have to say for us over Christmas and in the new year as we seek to hear your future for our lives, both individually and corporately as a church. Will you help us to hear you and then to speak and spread your message of love and peace. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's no room here.
But we're tired and we've walked a long way.
I suppose there's a stable round the back.
But we're tired, we've walked a long way.
Here's a blanket. What's your names?
Mary and Joseph.
Here comes Joseph again. I wonder what he wants.
He Huh? Can we have another smaller blanket?
There. One smaller blanket. All I need.
We are shepherds.
Well, what's the matter? Lost your sheep?
No. We've come to see Mary and Joseph.
Round the back. Round the back. Everyone and tell them. Come on, you lot, wake up! Come and see! Yes, of course I know it's the middle of the night, but this is a really special baby. It's time to sing!
The special effects were amazing, weren't they? You like that? Thousands spent on those. Weta Workshops we got involved in that one. It was very cost a bomb. Thank you, guys. That was brilliant. And thank you to all of our Sunday school teachers. And this is a chance for them just to for you to see them in action. But they're there every Sunday, and they do a brilliant job. And Jesus once said, didn't he, let the little children come to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And it's terrific when the kids tell us the story about Jesus and just lift our hearts. So well done. Do you want to give them another big round of applause? Well done. That was fantastic. Now they've taken us to Bethlehem, so we're going to sing about going to Bethlehem and seeing for ourselves. So should we stand and we're going to sing our lovely carol, See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw. Let's stand and sing that together, shall we? Take a seat. And it's that time again where I don my silly hat and my storytelling cardy. And here we go. I think we might leave this here actually when we finish the old Advent readings, and then I can just have my own seat. It's rather nice. Okay, now those of you who haven't been here before, for the last 4 weeks of Advent we've been walking with a not so wise man called Ashtar, and we've been listening to his exploits as he wanders around looking for a newborn king. And we've been following him on the journey, and he's been looking for this king who would come from heaven. And he's met some kings from the east, you might remember, Essex, neck of the woods. And he's helped them to find water for their camels. And last week, do you remember who he bumped into? Who'd he bump into? Do you remember? Who'd lost some sheep? Yeah, some shepherds. He bumped into some shepherds last week. But Ashtar still hasn't found this new king who is coming from heaven. So before long, Ashtar reached a small town where the streets were crowded with people. Ashtar asked a local what was going on. "Christmas Eve, isn't it, mate?" he said. "Last minute shopping took me 2 hours just to find a parking space for my camel. And now, guess what? It's been clamped." Ashtar gently reminded the local That couldn't be true, as the new king hadn't been born yet, and Christmas wouldn't actually exist until Thursday at the earliest. He was, after all, a very, very, very wise man. "Oh, right, good point," said the local, looking a bit confused. "Must be the census, then." "Oh, yeah, that's it. It's the census. Caesar Augustus is starting up a new head tax. Still, not to worry, though. My tax consultant's given me a brilliant idea. I'm going to buy this huge hat that all my family can fit underneath. Then we'll only get charged for one head. Genius." Which is, as you know, the first recorded tax dodge in all of history. Now, Ashtar was starting to feel like he was in a parallel universe, or possibly Oxted, one of the two. So he made his excuses, and he went to find somewhere to stay for the night. He was strangely drawn to a particular inn. Not because it looked any better than the others, but because he could hear the most beautiful, joyful, and theologically meaningful music he'd ever heard coming from within. And if you listen very carefully, children, if you put your hand to your ear, there you go, put your hand to your ear, if you lean in, you may be able to hear it too. Truly beautiful music it was. Ashtar knocked at the door of the inn. The innkeeper stuck his head out impatiently. "No room! No room! We're full up! How many times do I have to tell people?" Ashtar smiled. A wise man would put a sign on the door. That way he would get some peace. The idea had never occurred to the innkeeper, and he wrote, "No vacancies," on a big sign, and he nailed it to the door. The next people who came to the door didn't even bother to knock. They saw the huge sign and turned away. The man was leading a donkey with Nazareth number plates, which had a very young, very weary, very pregnant woman on its back. As they left, Ashtar heard the man say, "Don't worry, Mary. We'll find somewhere, I promise." Now, the innkeeper watched them go. He was delighted, because at last he would get some peace. Later, though, he'd be kicking himself all over the front room, as he just missed out on being a minor part in nativity plays for the next 2,000 years. But he didn't know this yet. So, to show Ashtar his thanks, he promised to find a bed for the night, and to keep playing that wonderful, wonderful music until everybody in the house had at least one small embolism each. Tune in next time on Christmas Day, when we'll hear the final episode and discover whether Ashtar finally gets to meet the new king born from heaven. There you go. We'll see you on Christmas Day.
We're going to, it's the fourth Sunday in Advent. It's nearly there. How many sleeps to Christmas?
Five.
Four.
Is
it four?
Four.
Sunday. You're right, it's four. It is four sleeps to Christmas. So we're coming to the end of Advent, the end of that time when we prepare. But we're on the fourth Sunday in Advent. And we're going to remember what happened on that fourth Sunday. And the fourth Sunday is all about preparing ourselves for the king to arrive. And we remember a certain chap, a certain man. Oh, thank you, Sarah. Well done. Great job. We remember a certain man who came. We've lost the matches. Has anybody nicked the matches? Ah! We nearly got... Thank you, Joe. Nearly got Rod in the head there. It was quite fun. Right, okay. Is there a match in there? Oh, there's one. So whoever's lighting this is, you've got one chance. Okay. So I'm going to ask Ben and family if they'll come up, and they're going to remind us about a man who prepared the way for Jesus, just as Advent is all about preparing for Jesus. And they're going to hopefully light those. Could use a flint, couldn't he? Just rubbing a couple of Boy Scouts together, he could do that, couldn't he? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Isaiah 9, 2 to 7 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen."
Well done. Round of applause. Well done. Very good. Well done, guys. That was very good. It's quite high pressure when there's only one match left in the box. So that was quite scary. You did a fantastic job. Improvise. Okay, should we read some words together? And I'll read the bits in white, and you respond with the bits in yellow there, as we remember the light that came into the world at Christmas time that is called Jesus. We light this fourth Advent candle to remind us of our calling to reflect the light of Jesus in this dark world. Jesus said, "You are the world's light. Let your light shine in the sight of men. Let them see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven." Amen. Shall we stand and let's sing, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Let's sing together.
Thank you.
to take up an offering this morning. And if you're visiting, don't panic. Don't worry if you're not prepared for that. This is for those who are here and support the work of Godston Baptist Church. So don't worry if you haven't prepared for that and you haven't brought anything. But this is for those folks who are regular and part of the fellowship here. Just to remind you that tonight is our carol service, and tonight we're going to take up an offering, and we're going to give that offering away. And we're going to give it away to the Orpheus Centre so that they can buy some much needed equipment, some medical equipment for their ministry and the work they do there with folks with all sorts of disabilities and learning difficulties and the fantastic work they do. So that's what we're doing tonight. But let's take an offering right now as a thank you to the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for your gift. Thank you for the light that has dawned on people who walk in the darkness. Thank you that we have a hope and a future that comes not from anything we've done, but from everything you've done. And Christmas marks a key moment when you broke into the history of the world in a very special way. So we thank you and we worship you, and we want to give these gifts to you. So through the work of this place and the ministry of your church, these people, that good news might go out across the world. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to carry on praying right now. I'm going to ask Martin just to lead us in some prayers. Thanks.
So if you are like my children and can't sit still, then please, and you are quite happy to come and be part of our joyful and at some point noisy praying this morning, please could you come and stand on the stage? Children particularly might like to do this, but not exclusively. So I'd like you to come and stand on the stage and look at the audience, please. That'd be great. Thank you very much. Anybody else want to join me? You have to be able to say something. I'm going to give you three words to say. You could shout them if you wanted. That's fine. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to say a little prayer about, and it's going to take inspiration from one of the people in the Nativity story. And then I'm going to say, at the end of that prayer, I'm going to say the word Emmanuel. Who can tell me what the word Emmanuel means?
No idea, absolutely no idea.
No ideas. Okay. All right. The word Emmanuel, that's one of the names or titles we give to Jesus. And it means God with us. So, I'm going to say Emmanuel at the end of each prayer, and your job is to say loudly enough for everybody to hear, God with us. Okay, so we're going to have a practice.
Okay.
Emmanuel.
God with us!
Yeah, okay. Feel free to join in with the God with us, and you can say it reverently or noisily. Actually, there's no reason why noise can't be reverent. I should say that, but you can say it quietly or loudly. Okay, so let's pray. God, we think of Mary facing whispered accusations. And Lord, we pray today for single mothers, and we ask that you give them comfort amidst the whispered accusations they might face. Let them know they are a child of God because you are Emmanuel.
God with us.
We think of Mary's cousin Elizabeth, and we pray for those who have faced difficulty conceiving, or those who have suffered the pain and anguish of the loss of a child. And we ask for the comfort of your everlasting arms, Emmanuel.
God with us.
We think of Joseph, the hard-working man who stood by Mary in times of adversity, the man who faced up to opposition and the whispers behind his back. Thank you that you encourage us to stand up for those whose voices may not be heard. Thank you, Emmanuel.
God with us.
We think of the angels, and we pray for those who come bearing the message of your kingdom, particularly those in difficult environments, people acting as missionaries here, abroad, and we ask for your blessing, that those people might know the strength given to them by you, Emmanuel.
God with us.
And we think of the shepherds, and we pray for those who sleep outside, cold, without even fire or the warmth of other people or sheep to keep them warm. May we find ways to offer warmth and love this Christmas, because love is what you offer, Emmanuel.
God with us.
And we think of the Magi, of men from the East, and we pray for those who labour in the fields of scientific study. We give thanks for the knowledge that those people impart and for the way they bring new insight into your creation, Emmanuel.
God with us.
And finally, we pray for all of us, Lord. And we give thanks that while we acknowledge having you with us does not mean the end of all hurt or all pain, that one day that will come. And as Mary waited, we too wait for the day that you will come again, and that we will see the fulfillment of your title of Emmanuel.
God with us.
Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Can we have a round of applause for everybody who came up and sat and having to stand? So, I'm just going to borrow your Bible, Phil. Excuse me. Thank you. Are you going to read? I have a reading here, Philippians 2. Which bit? Just says Philippians 2. Obvious bit. Okay, here we go. Okay, so this is from Philippians 2, and I'm going to read from verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. God was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So we're going to sing one more hymn now, and we're going to sing, actually this is one of my favourite carols, because we don't sing it quite so often, See Amid the Winter Snow. Will you join with us to stand, and as the band just take their positions and prepare, I think we can be ready for that. Okay. Okay, thank you. So let's stand and get ready to sing, shall we?
Thank you.
guys. Right, maybe you'd like to take a seat, and we're just going to think a little bit in a moment about that wonderful theme of Christmas, that wonderful time when Christ came and, as you heard in that reading, was born as a human being. Why would he do something like that? Well, just help us. We're going to get Eddie's in this morning, but Eddie, of course, is fast asleep because he was watching Strictly last night. Have you really? Have you not seen it? Oh, I was going to mention who won then. Don't mention who won. Right, okay. Well, he was watching Strictly. He really enjoyed it, and he was glad the person who won won. Let's just say that, shall we? But it was rather late because the old, you know, the old highlight show and everything. So you're going to have to wake him up. So you're going to have to, after three, wake up Eddie. All right, after three. You ready? One. Wait for it. One, two, three. Oh, that was abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. Let's give it one more try because his alarm clock is louder than that. Let's be honest. Here we go. Wake up, Eddie, after three. One, two, three. Here he is. Hey. You got a bit of competition this morning. Yeah, I know. Who's that Luke bloke? I don't know. He was up there somewhere. I'm not sure who he is. Never seen him before. But rumour has it he hangs around the back. Yeah, but there you go. Okay, that's good. Well, it's great to see you, Ed. It's great. Wait, what? You got a problem? He's got a problem. What is it? It's a bit embarrassing. It's all right, Ed. You can tell me anything. Don't worry. It's just between you and me and the other 100 people in the room. Is that all right? Just tell me anything. It's... What? It's not you. It's not you. Okay, who is it then? It's Herbert. Oh, it's Herbert. Herbert's his teddy, by the way. It's Herbert. What's the matter with Herbert? Oh, I see. That is a bit of a problem. Okay, let's just show everybody, because that looks a bit difficult to sort out. He is in there. I know, I can see his feet. Wait, what on earth is he doing in there, Ed? What? You were looking for Christmas presents. You and Herbert. And you thought there might be some in the vase, right? So you were looking for that. Oh, that's dreadful. I just, you know, have you tried getting him out? You have. You can't do it. No. Okay. Right, well, we're going to need an expert then, aren't we? Because that looks like a job for an expert. And I'm, you know, I've never extracted a teddy from a vase before. So, I reckon Martin should give us a hand. Martin the pastor. Yes, Martin the pastor. Can he fix it? Martin the pastor. Yes, he can. Okay, well, let's get Martin up. Okay, Martin, where are you? He's always carrying a toolbox around. You know, he's a very handy man, is Martin. I don't know, I'm going to have to give Herbert to Martin because I haven't got a clue what to do. Do you want to hang on to it? Look, careful. It looks pretty serious to me. What do you reckon?
It's a bit of a tricky one. I think it's going to be a tough job, this one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I might need some extra tools.
Ah, now he's probably got, right, you know, in that box, he's probably got the tools for the job. So we're all right, don't panic, he'll be all right.
It's going to be a bit bigger than just tools.
Oh, my word. He looks like he means business. Okay. So he's gonna have a go. Look, he's got all the gear. Don't panic, Ed. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. It's okay. What? Have I ever seen Martin put up a shelf? No, I haven't, actually, funnily enough. His family are looking worried now. I don't know. They are, yeah.
This is a big job.
It is a big job.
It's going to be a few hours labour, I think, this one.
You reckon? Okay. Shouldn't we be calling for a vet rather than a pastor? A pastor's all we got, I'm afraid. So we're just going to have to go with that. It's really not working, is it? Yeah. Okay. What do you reckon? What tool do you reckon will do the trick? Do you mind? Right. It'll be fine. It'll work in... Oh, my word. Oh, Eddie's fainted. You can't do that. You can't saw his head off. You can't do that. It's a family service. It's PG rating at the most.
I'll see what I've got in the box.
Okay. Are you all right? You passed out. I know you passed out. What? You can't stand the sight of stuffing. I know. It's horrible, isn't it? I don't know what he's playing at. It's blooming dangerous. Right.
Bit
of grease. Try a bit of grease then. Try a bit of that. That's better, isn't it? Slightly less violent method. Oh, I know. It's depressing, isn't it? Listen, you know, Ed, you know what? I'll tell you something. That vase looks very familiar. Yeah. What? It should do. Well, what do you mean it should do? It's the one Aunt Petunia left us. Well, hang on, hang on. What, the really old one that Aunt Petunia left us? The really old... You mean the really old, rare one that Aunt Petunia left us in her will? Yeah, the one we had valued over at Sotheby's. That one. Yeah, that one. Okay, well, that would be really funny. So basically, let me get this straight. Let me get this straight. Herbert's got his head stuck in a priceless antique. Is that what's happened? It's terrible, isn't it? You know what? You know what? I'll tell you what. This is really funny. What we ought to do, we really ought to tell Martin before he does something really stupid. Did I hear something? I think I heard so. I think it's just... Oh, he's passed out again. That's twice in one day. Well,
he's fit, though.
Oh, my word.
He's out.
Hang on, hang on. I've just got to bring him round. Ed, come back. Come back to the light. There you go. Okay. Are you all right? You're a bit shocked. Yeah, but listen. It was priceless. I know that it was priceless, but Herbert's all right again, isn't he? That's the most important thing. Your friend is all right, and he's back with us. Yeah. What? Yeah, that's right. I suppose so. I suppose some mistakes, sometimes, you know, there are consequences. And there's a bit of damage caused. And you have to sort it out, don't you? That's the way it works. But at least you've got Herbert back. And maybe that's the most important thing, isn't it? Even though it costs something. Okay. Because friendship's pretty important, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Martin. Say thank you to Martin. That was well, brutal, really. Let's be honest. Okay, so Ed, you might want to lie down after all that. Yeah, it's a bit I'm a bit exhausted. What about you? Do you want to say goodbye to Ed? Goodbye, Ed.
Bye.
Right, I'll see you Christmas Day. See you later. Okay, right, he's gone off again. Oh, that was a bit traumatic. Thanks, Martin. That's lovely. If I ever need any DIY doing, remind me to phone someone else. That's very good. Well done. Good job. You know, once upon a time, God had the same problem. Did you know that? Not a teddy stuck in a vase, obviously, not that. But he was our friend. God was our friend. And we did some really stupid things. A bit like Herbert did, getting his head stuck. We did stupid things. You know, we made choices that were silly and did silly things. And we ended up, a bit like Herbert, in a lot of trouble. We ended up like that. And God sent us all sorts of people to help us out. They were called prophets. And he sent these people and they gave us lots of advice and told us what to do and how to fix the problem. But we never listened. And eventually, God knew there was only one way that he was ever going to help you and me. So eventually, God knew that something was going to have to be broken to fix the problem. That's what happened. That's what the conclusion God came to. Now, he could choose to break us to solve the problem. We could pay for being silly and making wrong choices and doing daft things and hurting ourselves and getting into trouble. We could have paid for that. We could have been the thing that got broken. But God didn't want to do that. You know why? Because God loves us. He loves us that much. He didn't want to hurt us in the process of fixing the problem. God couldn't stand the thought of that. So he decided he would get broken in order to fix the problem. That's what he did. The trouble is, of course, how do you break God? How can you break God? You can't break God. God is indestructible. God is permanent. God can never be damaged or broken or hurt in order to fix the problem. And God thought and thought and thought and thought about this. And eventually he decided the solution would be to make himself breakable. And that's what Christmas is all about. Because without God becoming breakable, our problem would never have gotten fixed. God, who became that, the big, glorious, amazing, unbreakable God, became at Christmas time, he became this. He became something very fragile and very breakable to fix the problem for us. The God who even the heavens could not contain, who the very universe was too small to hold, became so small and so fragile. Can you click on for me, Steve? This isn't working well. Became so small and so fragile that he could be laying in the arms of a young girl called Mary. And that's what Christmas is all about. God became breakable to set us free. Because sometimes, mistakes can't be fixed without something getting broken. The verses Martin spoke to us earlier on are these. Let me read it to you again. He had equal status with God. He was big, huge. But he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, and the time was Christmas, he set aside the privileges of being God, and he took on the status of a servant. He became human. He became breakable for us. He didn't claim special privilege. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and he even died, because now he was breakable. He died a criminal's death on a cross. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far above anyone and anything. And he stands in heaven this Christmas, bearing the marks and the scars. He stands there as a reminder that he became breakable because he loves you so much, he doesn't want to break you to fix the problem. He chose to break himself. That's Christmas, and that's our God. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And it's not just a story. It's true. It's true. I hope this Christmas you experience a sense of how much God loves you, that he would become breakable for you when he didn't have to, when he had a choice, and yet he chose to break himself rather than you. Shall we sing as we close together? And we're going to sing another carol, a modern carol. It's called From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. And it goes from that birth when God became breakable to the moment he's broken. And beyond that, to all that he could then do for us because of that. Because he fixed our problem and got us out of the trouble we were in.
Thank you.
After the service, there's going to be some tea and coffee around the back. Just come in and join us and share a bit of fellowship together. That would be great. Don't forget, tonight is our carol service, 6 o'clock here, and we'll be taking up that special offering, the giveaway tonight. So come prepared for that too. And on Christmas Day at 10:30, we'll be back here and we'll just be celebrating the greatest moment when Jesus came, when God made himself breakable so that he didn't have to break us. Let's pray as we close, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for today. Thank you for reminding us through the children here who've so beautifully reminded us of the story, that wonderful time when you came. All the things you put up with, all the difficulties and the struggle and the pain that you endured, and you chose to do it because you love us so much. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being our Saviour. Thank you for becoming breakable. Thank you for loving us so much that you would do all of these things for us ordinary people. We thank you. And we bless you. And may this Christmas time, may that truth just sink into our hearts anew once again. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless you.